Thank you, girls and Phil. Appreciate it. I'd like to welcome each of you here to the house of the Lord as we join together that we might worship Him and learn of His Word. I trust that many of you have been trying to keep our brother Jim in your prayers this week, and we'll continue to uphold him here even as he seeks to bring the Word to us here this morning. I did want to share with you here this morning, and this is in the bulletin, about our program this year of home ministry. And the priesthood, we have made it our commitment that we are going to visit each and every member as much as possible here at the branch before the end of the year. So if you get a phone call or one of the priesthood members stops and talks to you and asks about a visit, this may be why. I would urge you to open your home to them and try to make accommodations so that they can visit there. We do feel this is our duty, and it is scriptural. And we hope that we're able to provide ministry to the congregation and be able to share with those of you who perhaps share in ways that we would not normally be able to here at the branch. We will continue, brothers and sisters, with our worship in singing hymn 168.
Our Father who art in heaven, it is in the name of thine only begotten Son, even Jesus Christ, that we assemble here in this holy place. And we truly now, Father, seek thy Holy Spirit to be among us, to soften our hearts and to draw us closer unto thee and unto each other. And we ask, Father, in humility that you might look down upon us and attend here with us, that this gathering might be pleasing and acceptable unto thee, and consecrated at this time for the benefit of our souls. And Father, truly we would seek to see thy Son in our lives and as we begin this new year, and even now in this time of worship. Please be with our brother Jim and give him the strength and the faith to bring that message that we know thou hast placed upon his heart and his mind. And may we truly, Father, be attuned unto thy good spirit, and will you work in our lives in great power. This is our prayer for this hour and this time together, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to start off by reading from the book of John, chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company come up unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them, and they were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they had eaten and were satisfied, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is the truth that prophet that should come into the world. You know, it's not surprising that the Lord, who created all things, could extend this humble lunch that this young boy had brought forth. I find it interesting that it seemed like only the young boy was willing to share his lunch that apparently his dutiful mother had prepared for him to take along. And it reminds me that God can do quite a bit with very little. And if you want an example of that, look at the story of the widow's mite. Because we don't know what they made of that mite, but the story passed on through the generations has inspired generosity. And the Lord has done much with that. Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for this day, Lord, and for this building that we gather in, and for our friends and family that we gather with. We come here to worship you, O Lord, and we ask that you would look down upon our humble offerings and bless them and do mighty things with them. These things we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.
For my scripture readings this morning, I would like to read a couple of scriptures, one from the Bible and one from the Book of Mormon. And these are very familiar to us. So you're going to have already heard them probably hundreds of times, but I would like to read them again for our hearing today. First one is taken from Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And I was told I should slow down to make sure people have time to look it up. And that wasn't by my wife either, by the way. In this 22nd chapter, our Lord is talking. And I'm going to start with verse 31. I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard him, they were astonished at his doctrine. Sorry, I'm going to have to get my bifocals right here. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, you know, I've come to the realization anytime we hear him talk about the Pharisees or Sadducees, it's not good. They were gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, tempting him, asked, saying, Master, which is the great commandment is the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The one from the Book of Mormon is found in Alma, We're very familiar with it. The third chapter of Alma, starting with the 27th verse. And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have we, I'm saying we instead of ye, have we received his image in your countenance? May the Lord add his blessing. Thank you, Phil, Stacy, and Jackie. I appreciate that. When you can't sing, you always appreciate hearing somebody that can. Eric picked for our opening hymn, We Would See Jesus. As far as I'm concerned this morning, when Eve and Mary stood up here, we saw our Savior. And hearing them, and their lovely voices this morning. When Eric asked me earlier in the week if there was anything I needed, any songs I could pick out that would fit with my sermon or anything, I didn't know what I was going to preach on. So I told him just pick out some restoration hymns, something that we would know as a people. And as I had time to study, I have a tendency to open my scriptures and start reading, and then something usually starts coming to me. The Lord starts to work with me. He wasn't doing it too early this week. My wife kept asking me, she says, well, is anything coming to you? I said, well, no, not yet. And when it did, the scripture I read in Matthew, we've heard it. I opened the scriptures up. I think that was on Thursday. I started reading. And I thought, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to talk on? Talk about my brothers, my neighbors. Of course, if I talk, normally I don't say good things. But that's not what we're supposed to say here, is it? We're supposed to love them and to show our love for them. We're supposed to have His image in our countenance that we might be able to do that with our brothers and sisters of the faith and outside this faith. And as I turned in the scriptures, ones I didn't know, other ones I've heard, the book would open up in Romans a couple of places. And I thought, okay, Lord, that's what you're wanting me to talk on. I don't know why, but that's what I'll talk on. And then He gave me a remembrance of an experience I had. As most of you know, I'm retired, but I enjoy working part-time for a company out of Wichita, Kansas, going out and repairing machines. Well, Pat keeps reminding me I'm retired. I don't need to do that. But I enjoy it. I enjoy going to new companies that I haven't been to. The weeks before Thanksgiving, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, I was in Oklahoma City at a company I'd never been to before, repairing their machine. And then the week of Thanksgiving, the first part of the week, I was in Winfield, Kansas, out in the middle of nowhere, a company I'd never been to before, repairing a machine. And I told my boss on the phone when I reported in that I didn't want to do anything the week after Thanksgiving because that was my anniversary week. And he kind of laughed. He says, oh, yeah. He says, you won't make it past 50 years if you mess with that one, will you? So he didn't schedule me. But 2 weeks before Christmas, he called me. He says, Jim, he says, when can you go to Sabetha, Kansas? And I thought, I've heard that name. And I got out the map and looked to see where it was at. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'd heard Mike Estill talk about it. Mike and Terry, when you hear them talk about going out to Kansas, that's where they go, is out near that. And why I enjoy this is not only the fact I get to see parts of the country I've never seen, I get to see companies I've never seen, and I love manufacturing and being around it. And the fact that we can produce some such unique things at different times in different parts of the country. But the week before Christmas, on Wednesday, I had to go to Humboldt, Kansas, which is basically a one-day trip. I just drive down that morning. It's about a 3.5-4 hour drive to get there, do the job, and come home late that evening, afternoon and evening. Now, Humboldt I've been to probably 20 times, so it wasn't a new experience to go there. But what I want to tie into these scriptures is the experiences I've had at Humboldt. At Humboldt, Kansas, which is another little town out in the middle of nowhere, here's this company. And that always amazes me when I see it. Not in the big cities, but out in the small countries most of the time, in little towns. This company, the owner of it, and I'll call him Tom, started the company in his garage 28 years ago. And now it's huge. It's probably as big as all of our whole property area, even to the back where some of you have never been. He hires 350 employees, and the company has grown. Well, Tom started a unique thing probably 9 years ago. He decided that he was going to furnish a dinner each month for his employees. That's not just January, not just December at Christmas time, but each month they have a dinner on the last Thursday of the month, paid for by the company. And it might be a barbecue dinner. It could be, well, one time I know they had shrimp dinners. Mexican, it's kind of a different theme he picks each month for them. Totally paid for by the company. As most of you know, most places you have 30 minutes for lunch. But not in Tom's shop. When it's that day, that meeting, that lunch will be an hour to an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And I have been there on that Thursday before, and they've asked me to participate in it. And I didn't really want to, but they says, no, you need to come, Jim. You need to come. This is the head of the maintenance department. So I went with his crew the first time. Well, this last Wednesday before Christmas, that was their dinner day. They had it on Wednesday instead of Thursday. And I thought when I left, I thought, oh, well, I'm going to miss the dinner this time. But when I got out there, they told me no. They'd picked a good day to come, that was their Christmas dinner day. And I says, oh, well, I really don't want to interfere with your company Christmas dinner. And they said, no, you need to come. And what I think is unique about this is that Tom, the owner of the company, is in his 60s. Young guy like me, balding, but he lets his hair on the sides grow long, and he has probably an 18-inch ponytail, and he has a little beard, and he's a little pot-bellied. I've never seen him in anything but jeans in any of the times I've ever been out there. And sometimes those jeans are tore out in the knee and everything else. If he's out in the plant and they need help with something, he jumps right in, works with the guys. But at these dinners, everybody has to come in and sit down at a table first. And they have a huge room that they keep for this purpose. And once everybody's sit down, then Tom will stand up and say a few things. And before they can get up and go to the food, he offers a prayer over the meal. Not one time has he done this, but every time. And there's people that work there I know are not Christians, but they respect him. Some of the employees that I deal with drive 90 minutes every morning to come to work for him and 90 minutes at night to drive home because they appreciate Tom, the owner of the company, and the way he treats his neighbors and his fellow man. And once he's offered the prayer, then they have the meal, which we had Christmas dinner. Because there's 350 people at this dinner, they put little cards on the tables, pictures of Christmas presents, Christmas of angels, pictures of Christmas trees, and when he'd draw out of the hat and call out whatever the card was, if you were at that table, you got to get in line so that everybody didn't hit the line all at once. And this is not a skimpy meal that he puts on for his employees. I don't care if you're the 349th or 350th person, I guarantee you there will be plenty of food there for you. After the meal, then they usually have, for want of a better word, a little meeting. And they keep the employees up to date at what's going on. And he does other things. But he announced to them that this was the best year on record for the company. That it had been a good year. And he told them that they would be getting a profit share as a Christmas bonus. Tom gives a profit share twice a year. the end of June and in December to all of his employees. And one of the times I was down there, the profit sharing was over $600,000 shared amongst the employees. At that time, there was only about 200 and some people there. I don't remember exactly. You can do the math. It's based on how long, if they'd worked there the full 6 months from the previous one or not. If they've only been there a month, they still got something, but it was kind of figured into the formula that they'd worked out. But everybody gets a bonus. Not something that's forced on him. He just decided it was the thing to do. He was asked how much the bonus was totaled this time. And it was 700 and, if I remember correct, 38,000 something that would be shared amongst the 350 employees. And that they would be getting that check in the afternoon when the supervisors come around and handed out their envelopes, pay envelopes. But he does some other things for that company and for his employees. And that's why they are willing to work so hard for him. They announced that they were going to be starting a Dave Ramsey financial peace class. They were going to be doing it at the church, which was just up the street because they had a big fellowship hall. For anybody that wanted to go to that, them and their spouses could go. And that they'd got a reduced rate of $50 a couple. And then they announced, and that was a pretty good deal, if you know Dave Ramsey's courses and what that costs. Then they announced that if they signed up for the class and attended every class, didn't miss, the company would reimburse them the $50 for the course, that it might help them out with their financial life. Any way you figure that, if all 350 people went, that'd be 170, or do my math in my head here real quick. That'd be $175,000 that he'd be reimbursing. Now, I'm sure they're not all going to attend. They won't participate. But those that do receive an added little present from the company. I would like to read scriptures to you. And this is one of them my Bible opened up to. And I don't know that I've read it, I'm sure, but I don't remember ever reading it before. But in Proverbs, the third chapter, and I'm going to start with the 27th verse. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it in thy hand. Basically, it's telling us. Well, one of the gentlemen in management, when Tom's kind of a quiet guy, he really doesn't like to talk much, so he turns it over to some of the other management people. One of the other management fellows stood up and he says, well, he says, I want to read a letter for everybody. He says, we just got it last Friday, which would have been the Friday the week before Christmas. And he says, we wanted Tom to read it, but he didn't want to. So he read it. And basically it was a Christmas card from a steel supplier. And in this letter that was with it, the steel supplying company informed him that they had bought enough steel now that they were the fourth largest customer, which they appreciated them buying from this steel supplier out of Kansas City. And that what they appreciated even more was that Tom paid the bill promptly when it was presented to him each month. And if you know anything about companies today, that's kind of rare. There are several companies I go into that the company I work for now won't even call me up and send me till they have a credit card from the company and have already billed them half the cost of me going before they'll even call me and send me to the shops. How do we do our business? How do we treat our neighbors that we owe money to? But in this letter, he was thanking the company and Tom and letting them know that they would be glad to do anything to help them survive and to grow. And I said, they've grown quite a bit in the last 3-4 years. Some companies can't say that. But they have. In Romans, the 13th chapter, starting with the 8th verse. And my scriptures opened up, and I was reading the 13th and 14th chapter, and this one hit me again. Therefore, owe no man anything. But there's a but. And listen to this. But to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm not sure why all these scriptures is what my Bibles kept opening up to. In a way, I'm a little nervous because I wonder, I'm sure the Lord's talking to me as much as he is you. At how we treat our brothers and sisters or our neighbors in the branch and how we deal with those outside the branch. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, I'll start with the 13th verse. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I was reading in James, 2nd chapter. And I kind of thought this was a unique way. I know I've read James several times, but this didn't quite click this way before this time. In the 2nd chapter in verse 8, it says, if ye fulfill, and it doesn't just say law, it says fulfill the royal law. According to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You will do well if we do that. In Luke, the 10th chapter, I'm going to start with the 26th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Oh, there's those lawyers again. And tempted him, saying, Master, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered rightly, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, sometimes on his scriptures, are we lawyers? Are we trying to justify ourselves? Said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And you know the rest of the story. Pretty well they beat him up, robbed him, took all of his possessions and left him laying in the ditch. And the first person by was a certain priest. And he saw it and went to the other side. And the second was a Levite who did exactly the same thing, wanting to act as if they didn't see what was happening. But then we have the Samaritan that stopped, patched up the man, took him to an inn, paid for his stay, and helped him. Now, brothers and sisters, how do we do things? Now, that's the scripture way of putting it. But also, at this dinner on Wednesday before Christmas, and I'm giving you these stories out of sequence because the way it fits in with these scriptures. Tom called a man and a woman up to the front. And the minute he did, people in the group started clapping. And I thought, well, what's this all about? And when they got up there, Tom says, I'm sure everybody in here is very aware of what happened 2 weeks ago. Well, everybody wasn't aware, but I wasn't. There was a gentleman eating his lunch, and he got the food caught in his throat. And it was so bad that he collapsed. He couldn't breathe. And there were people around that didn't do anything. But these two people that he called forward, a man and a woman, had taken the first aid classes that the company had offered to its employees a few years before. And they knew how to do the Heimlich. They got him up and had to do the Heimlich, I guess, two or three times, but it came out. And the man was taken to the hospital. Everything was okay. But when Tom called him forward, he handed them each $100 bill for their willingness to learn first aid safety. How do we treat our neighbors? Tom, I think, treats them well. That's why the people are willing to travel 90 minutes to get to work and 90 minutes home. And I know some of these men travel past some other shops I've been in before. But they want to work for this kind of a man. Do we have that same desire to work for our Lord and Savior? We should. He also, in the different times I've been there, has called different people forward. And these people, and there was a couple of them on Wednesday, and there was some before. I think I've seen at different times now 5 different people that have been called forward. And all they did was their job. They caught mistakes before the mistakes got out of hand and cost the company a fortune. One of them caught a batch of steel that had been brought in to make an item. And this is a trailer hitch company. They make fifth wheel trailers, hitches for trucks. They make them for the backs of trucks. My wife and I a couple weeks ago saw a truck with their logo on the back of the trailer hitch. They make a first-class product, the most expensive one on the market. In the last several years, Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler have all tried to make these same fifth-wheel trailer hitches for their trucks, but people will still buy the BMW trailer hitch because the quality is well known. This man caught a batch of steel. Tensile strength wasn't going to be enough to make those trailer hitch balls out of. And he caught it before it got cut up. One of them was a lady in shipping. Somehow, the paperwork coming down, some numbers got transposed, and they were getting ready to ship out some stuff, and she double-checked before the order went out and caught thousands and thousands of dollars worth of merchandise that did not get shipped wrong. Like I said, they're only doing their job, really, if you think about it. But out of those five people, the least bonus they got was $760. And the most was $2,300. That's the way Tom treats his neighbors and his brothers and sisters. Before we left, and that particular dinner took probably about an hour and 45 minutes, Tom didn't announce it, but one of the other guys says, well, we have, not only will you be getting your bonus checks, but you will be getting, as you leave the room, an additional bonus that Tom wanted to give. And when he got to the door, it was gift cards for the local grocery store. $50 gift cards. And the guy tried to offer me one of them. I says, well, I don't work here. I said, I'm just in here repairing the machine. And he says, well, you can take one anyhow. Tom wants everybody to have one. I says, no, I said, I don't work here. I shouldn't take it. Now, the maintenance guys later told me I should have and given it to them. But think about it. That was an additional $17,500. The love and respect in the way he treats his employees. In the Book of Mormon, in Alma, first chapter, and now I'm talking to us of the church. I'm going to skip 45, but you need to go read quite a bit of this, but I'm going to start with verse 46. Now I'm going to go back to 45. Need to read it all. And thus, in their prosperous circumstances, they did not send away any who were naked, or that were hungry, or that were athirst, or that were sick, or that had not been nourished. And they did not set their hearts upon riches. Therefore they were liberal to all, both old and young, both bond and free, both male and female, whether out of the church or in the church, having no respect to persons as to those who stood in need. And pay attention to this next verse. And thus they did prosper and become far more wealthy than those who did not belong to their church. I am convinced that Tom, even though he's not one of our faith, is being blessed. And his wealth is growing. His business is thriving because he follows the commandments as he knows them, and loves his neighbor and treats him with dignity and respect. In Romans, the 14th chapter, I'm going to start with the 8th verse. No, I think I'm going to skip on down to the 10th verse and start. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? I've read this scripture, I know, dozens of times, and I never thought about looking up naught to see just how they described it. But in the dictionary, the very first definition of naught, or at least the dictionary I was using, says of no value or account. So think of it this way. Why dost thou set at naught? I'm going to replace that. Why dost thou set at no value or account thy brother? Do we do that, brothers and sisters, at different times to those of the congregation, those of our neighbors that we come in contact with? I hate to say it, but yeah, probably at times I've done that. But we're told we're not to set that naught to thy brother. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every time I read that particular scripture, I can't help but think years and years ago when I first met Arthur Oakman. And Pat had gotten to know Arthur's sister, Doris. And she was blind. We picked her up, did things with her, went out and bought her groceries for her at different times. Pat would call me at work and give me the grocery list, and I'd go by and pick it up. And the first time I did that, I thought, how's she going to know how to pay me back? I thought, well, it's not that much. I'll just give it to her. And when I got there, no problem. Doris knew how she had the money set aside. She says, well, I know it's going to be at least this much. But she says, how much was the other items in there? And she counted out the rest of the money. No problem. She knew how to do it. It was put away. When Arthur would take her to the bank, they'd get it in an envelope just right for bills, because the paper did feel the same. But I guarantee you, pocket change, how many of us could pull pocket change out and cover our eyes and be able to pick out quickly the difference between a dime and a penny? Doris could do it. But anyhow, I met Arthur for the first time when he was preaching at the old Farview branch. And what had happened was he pulled up, Pat and I got out there just as they were, and I opened the doors for his wife to get out and opened the back door for Doris and helped her out. Well, she knew me immediately. And we talked going in. Well, when Arthur came in, he came straight up to me with a look. Wanted to know who this was that was helping his sister that he didn't know. But that look was one I think most of us will feel when we stand before our Lord. It was like he could look right through me and knew every one of my sins and faults. So each and every one of us will have to appear and make that accounting before our God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Brothers and sisters, I'm not sure why the Lord kept bringing all these scriptures. Some of them I don't ever remember reading to my calling recognition. But if we want this congregation to grow in the church of our Lord and Savior, we need to be more diligent in how we treat our brothers and sisters and our neighbors.
Thank you. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful, Lord, for allowing us to share together this day in the presence and power of your Spirit. And Father, we recognize that there are many things in our lives that we need to change, Father. And as we look at the places that we live and the communities that we dwell in, are we good neighbors, Father? And we pray, Father, that we might be classed among those who are called good and who reach out to their neighbors and seek to do those things that you've commanded us to do. We thank you for our brother Jim and the message he brought this day, Father. May you bless him and bless his family. Bless each one who is here today, Father, that they might grow closer to you, that their lives might be enriched from those things that they've learned this day, Father. And we love you and pray that you continue to be with each one. And we thank you in the presence and prayer in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.